Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Not the greatest day going, but you know what? I do see some light at the end of the old weather tunnel here. It looks like... Hey, I hope it's the way it turns out, but it looks like we're about to turn the corner here. I feel like it's been raining for a year.
I know. Was it like 10 out of the last, 11 out of the last 15 days? At least today is just a shade warmer, just a little drier.
Yeah, but I mean, when I mean a year, I did not mean that to be funny.
Yeah.
Because remember, last summer and then heading into football season, it felt like it rained almost all the time. You know, it didn't rain every day. But it just felt like, I mean, last summer doing Spikes Baseball, last spring and summer I'm doing Spikes Baseball, and I just felt like every time we turned around, we were dodging a rainstorm, or it would rain during the day, but they, you know, and they did a great job. The guys that, Matt Neary and his crew at Medler Field at Lebrano Park do a phenomenal job of keeping that place playable. And they probably did their best job last year because of the conditions. And during the football season, how many times during the course of the football season did it rain? And I don't care where it was. I don't care if it was going to Rutgers or playing at Beaver Stadium or wherever it may be. You felt like you were always, it was a storm somewhere. And we did get some snow during the course of the wintertime. But in the last few weeks, same story. It's been raining. Well, now it looks like we're finally going to turn the corner on this. I mean, yeah. Your nephew's Little League games, for example, you probably have had at least one rain out, right?
Yeah, a couple. And their home field, it's kind of the low end of town. And...
That's not commentary in the economic.
No.
Sure.
Yes, not to be confused with the upper west side of town. But old town, throwback kind of Little League field, yeah. And could drain a lot better than what it does. So, actually, they've had to, out of all their, I think they're supposed to have five or six home games at this point, and four of them were at another field because the field was just too soggy.
I mean, it looks here in the advance forecast that may not rain for 10 days.
We'll take that.
Oh, I count me in.
Maybe 80 by the end of the weekend.
Now, it should be pointed out that by the end of the 10 days, we'll be told by some wise guy that we're in a drought. You should be very careful about your water usage. Oh, get away from me. I watched it rain for 14 months. Don't hand me that. You should be very careful. Be very, very careful. Oh, my goodness. There are a couple things I want to get into today, and we'll have Neil Kulong on the show today. We'll hear from him. Scheduling is something. You've got the ACC meetings going on. I mean, and I don't mean the media day meetings. I mean, I'm talking about the conference meetings taking place in Amelia Island down near Jacksonville. And they continue to stick with the model of eight conference games. Now, let's give Clemson its due, for example. Clemson, for example, in its four non-conference games, one of them was against, I believe, Auburn last year, and the other one was against South Carolina. So you're not going to hear any complaint from me about what they're doing with their non-conference schedule. It has much more to do, for example, when I see what Alabama does. Alabama's four non-conference games this year happen to be on a neutral field, Duke. A neutral field with Duke. And then home games with Southern Mississippi, Western Carolina, and... who's the other one? I don't know why I get the feeling it's like a Louisiana Monroe or somebody like that. But that's what it is. It is... It is something that when you look at it, some people have called for a commissioner of football. They've also called for a commissioner of men's basketball. See if they can, quote, level the playing field across the board. It's very difficult to do. To level that playing field. One of them would be, obviously, to have everybody play nine conference games and three non-conference games, but the SEC and the ACC don't buy into it. To the credit of the Alabamas and the Clemsons, look, they've been good enough, period. But Alabama, for example, has really taken advantage of the scheduling component. There's no getting around it. Yeah, they play. Yes, their division games are Auburn, LSU, you know, Texas A&M, Mississippi State. Those are their division games that they have to play. Now, their crossover games with Tennessee years ago, that was a big deal. Now it's not such a big deal, and I don't think it's helped them. Now, for Penn State, through 2025, Penn State is guaranteed to have 10 Power 5 games on the schedule. They're at Virginia Tech next year. They've got Auburn at home in 21, so 2 years. They're at Auburn in 22. In 23, they've got West Virginia at home. They're at West Virginia in 24 to open the season. And in 25, Virginia Tech comes here. Now, they still have one more non-conference game to announce for 24 and 25, but that's not going to be a Power 5 team. Okay, it's going to be a home game. I mean, that'll be a home game each year with somebody that's not a Power 5 team. And they'll both be somewhere in September. Let's see. 25. Well, actually, to be honest with you, 25. I think that might be to open the season, like on August 31st or something like that. But that's where it is. You don't have the uniformity. Now, you're not going to get uniformity anyway based on your conference. I mean, your conference may lend itself to just not being that strong. And again, when you look at the ACC, this is not to... I mean, Clemson has no control over this. Part they control is they play South Carolina every year. The part they control is they're playing. They played, for example, Auburn last year. I mean, that's the part they can control. They can't control their conference is not great. If you go into this particular season, there might be only one other ACC team ranked to start the season. That might be Syracuse. Miami might get some recognition Florida State, probably not. Syracuse might be the only one that is ranked. Now, that part you can't control. You cannot control your league. You have no shot at controlling your league. Can't help what everybody else is doing. But that is, to me, the biggest problem that you've got scheduling-wise, is that do schools, for example, I'll give you Alabama as a perfect example. You know the last non-conference road game that Alabama's played, Sean?
I do know that, but I remember you told me this off-air a little while ago.
It's Penn State in 2011.
That's right.
2011. They have not played a true non-conference road game in 8 years. When they have played a major opponent, and they do try to play a major opponent every year. So they've played Michigan, Florida State. Those have always been neutral site games. Now this year, the neutral site game is Duke.
This is looking way, way, way down the road, but I remember hearing a month ago that Oklahoma and Alabama, they announced a home and home, but it's not until 2032 and 2033. And they'll both be played in early September. First game will be in Norman, and then 2033 will be in Tuscaloosa.
Eli Gold might, at the age of 78, still be doing the games when that happens.
Fingers crossed. We're hoping.
I'm hoping. Eli's one of the great guys out there. You know how much I think of Eli. Yeah. And Toby Rowland. I talk to Toby every year, the Oklahoma play-by-play guy. I like Toby. He's a good guy. Good announcer. Now, Toby might still be there.
Actually, one of the first things I thought of when the Alliance of American Football folded, I wondered if Phil Savage would head back to doing radio again for Alabama. Get back in the booth with Eli. Unless he has something else planned.
Yeah, I would hope it would not be at the expense of John Parker Wilson. You know, I mean, you start doing a job, you'd like, find a role for everybody. But, how much I think of Phil. But these schedules are done so far in advance. If there's anything that unifies people, sports can be a unifier. Today in New York, regardless of your situation in life, there are people hoping that the ping pong balls fall when they get Zion Williamson tonight. People lighting candles.
Knicks? Cavs? Where is he going to go?
Or the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns, they're the ones that all have the 14% chance of winning. The Suns, the Cavs, and the Knicks.
Didn't they change the draft lottery format a few years back where the, like you just mentioned, the percentages, so then Phoenix would have more of their ping pong balls in the kettle to increase
Phoenix, Cleveland, and the Knicks have more ping pong balls in there than anybody else.
NBA's version of Powerball. Literally.
In a lot of ways, yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing how over the years it's worked out.
Or Mega Millions.
Derrick Rose. I'm from Chicago. The Bulls pick first. LeBron James. I'm from Akron. The Cavs pick first. Boy, talk about luck, huh?
And ironic, it's going to be held in Chicago tonight.
Patrick Ewing. Big prize. Who needs him? The Knicks. Who picked first? See, there are a lot of conspiracy theories when it comes to the NBA draft lottery. Because players just seem to land in the darndest places. You rarely see the NBA draft lottery where tonight the Utah Jazz end up with the first pick. Or whomever didn't make it. I don't know who didn't make it this year. I think the Jazz were in the play. Yeah, Houston knocked them out.
Well, once in a great while, though, you do hear of a team that slips through the cracks that, and how they get the overall number one pick. Well, may happen.
Who?
Never know.
Who? 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 Right. New Orleans desperately needed something to get the franchise going. They got Anthony Davis. I'm telling you this, okay? The Clippers every year. I mean, the only reason people knew Elgin Baylor was still around was because as the GM of the Clippers, he showed up at the draft lottery every year. The Clippers were that bad. Hey, it's Elgin. He's still around. Oh, my goodness. But that is tonight. This is a no-doubter. This is not one of those drafts where you have a decision to make on who's first. Zion Williamson is clearly the best player. Does he have a chance to be a potential star? Yeah, he's a chance. He has a chance. He can be a potential star in this league. He will come in with great fanfare and great hype. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's not really fair to say who's going to be a bigger star in the NBA, Zion Williamson or Ja Morant.
Oh no, no, no! It'll be Zion Williamson. Ja Morant, for him to become a huge star, is going to have to play his backside off. I mean, there's going to be so much focus on. There'll be so much focus on Zion Williamson that you'll know that Ja Morant's in the league, but you'll just know he's in the league. I think that's the way it's going to be. There's going to be every move that Zion Williamson makes is going to be chronicled by ESPN. Now they'll slip in, hey, John Morant's a really good player. He's doing a really nice job. It's a, you know, or RJ Barrett, whatever. But they'll be going to teams. Let me give you, except for being exposed in the college basketball trial, can you tell me anything DeAndre Ayton did this year for the Phoenix Suns?
Not really.
No.
I would say if he was, though, on an East Coast team, I may be able to pull out of the hat what he averaged per game points-wise.
Okay. Okay, Trae Young played for the Atlanta Hawks. How'd he do?
Don't know.
Okay. How did Knox do for the Knicks? They're East Coast teams.
True, but the Knicks were pretty much bottom of the barrel all year.
Right. I'm just saying, though, I don't think where the team is matters. I think it's all about who the person is. My goodness, we're into the playoffs, and ESPN is running stories about what LeBron thinks of Damian Lillard. What does LeBron think about Portland? What does LeBron think about Golden State playing without Durant? What does LeBron think? I don't care. No offense. LeBron doesn't care what I think. And oddly enough, that's a tremendous coincidence. I don't really care what he thinks either. So I don't have to sit there and read it. He's not Gandhi. He's a heck of a basketball player and a heck of a businessman, and I think he's very, very smart. But I don't hang on every word he says. No need to. And he's not playing. Someday he's going to own a team. And I think he'll be fine. Someday he's going to own a team. And you know what? He's then going to have to cut a player, and he'll find out it's not quite the simplistic process that people think it is.
Yeah, get Michael Jordan on the phone or Magic Johnson. It's okay. Yeah, how do you handle that end of the deal in this business?
Yeah. Well, management shouldn't have done that. Well, when your management. You may have to do it. I know you'll have to do it. But ESPN keeps writing articles about what he thinks about this, this, and this, and I haven't clicked on any of them because I don't really care what he thinks. Just like for some odd reason, I don't think he has listened to this show because I don't think he cares what I think, even though you and I both know he should.
Well, look at it this way. You know, instead of waiting till the end of June, mid-April, he was able to get back into full bore working on Space Jam 2.
You know what, though? I will say this for LeBron James. Now, I know it's later in his career, but he has played so much more basketball than anybody else. Because remember, he's represented this country three times in the Olympics. He went to eight straight finals. He's played more games, put more time in for basketball than anybody else. You know, on years where he had long, long seasons, he still played in the 4, 8, and 12 Olympic games for this country. I have great respect for that.
Okay.
He didn't have to do that. Well, this is the first time in his career he's actually going to get an extended break. If he wants to make Space Jam, go ahead. And he's going to make a lot of, he's producing a lot of stuff right now. He's going to make a lot of money. He's already made a lot of money, but he's going to make even more. Like I said, he's a really good, savvy businessman. Now, will I go to Space Jam 2? I didn't see Space Jam 1. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And it's out of here!
Hit a home run of a deal with SMC. Sunbury Motors Ford has incredible May deals that will have you cheering too. Just listen, Ford's MVP, the top-selling 2019 F-150 truck, has 0% financing for up to 72 months. Plus, save up to $13,000 off. And SMC has 65 to pick from. 2019 Ford Escape start at $17,485. And SMC has 47 to choose from. Take $7,500 off 2019 Ford Explorers, $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and Echo Sports, and a whopping $8,500 off 2019 Ford Escapes. And you can hit a grand slam with up to $12,000 off Ford Expeditions. In May, SMC is better than the ballpark. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Phillies last night. Big hit by Adrubal Herrera last night. This afternoon, the Indians lead the White Sox 4-0. Everybody swings back into action tonight after a light night last night in the majors. The Indians lead the White Sox 4-0. The Phillies have the Brewers again tonight. You'll hear it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as Aaron Nola. Of course, was out there. And tonight you've got Jared Eichhoff and Brandon Woodruff tonight. Also means you have to face Christian Yelich. Right now, the Phillies are in first place by 3.5 games over the Braves. And the Phillies, the Phillies are now playing 600 baseball. 600 baseball right now. That's amazing. And and they are scoring runs. Look, that's the bottom line is they are getting runs put up on the board. And so they're playing at the 600 clip right now. What do we have? Less than 2 weeks of Memorial Day? All right, so they're 3.5 up. The Braves are only a game over 500.
Phillies were 12-8 in their first 20 games, and next 20 games also 12-8.
Hey, that gets it done.
Yeah.
Cubs are 2.5 up on the Brewers. Cubs right now have the best record in the National League, and the Dodgers lead the West by 3.5 over Arizona. In the American League, Tampa Bay. They are a half game up on the Yankees and three up on the Red Sox. Twins have been the surprise of baseball. They're four games up on the Indians right now. They're 25-15. They're playing 625 ball. And the Astros have the best record in baseball. And I will see them live and in person on Saturday night. They right now lead by 6.5 games over the Angels. Now, here's one that's interesting for you. The Marlins have scored 105 runs this year, which is the lowest in baseball. You know who's next?
Definitely not the Phillies.
The Pirates.
That's surprising, because they're off to a not all that bad of a start.
141. Now, they're third overall in all of Major League Baseball and second only to the Marlins in the National League. The Tigers have scored fewer runs than they have, 135. The Pirates have only scored 141 runs this year. That's it. And they got some really bad news today. Jameson Taillon was transferred to the 60-day IL. That is really bad news. Oh, he'll be back in 2 months. That's not what the 60-day DL means. The 60-day DL means that you are going to be laid up for a long time. Nobody I know of comes off the 60-day DL on day 61. That's bad. All right. So, it's been a while since we had Matt Leon on the show. It is great to have Matt Leon back with us. Welcome back, sir.
Good to be with you.
All right. That was about... I've done a lot of endings in my career. I've never seen one like that. Which bounce did you start to get the bad feeling it might go? One,
it's
two,
funny.
Three, or four?
I'm watching it on TV, and from that angle, he lets the shot go, and you see your initial ricochet short, and my first thought was, okay, they dodged the bullet going to overtime. But I watched the body language of everybody under the basket, and usually when a shot's, you know, well short and that's it, the clock, you know, people relax, you could see you can see the tension run out, and I didn't see that, and I saw everybody still staring at the rim, and I'm like, oh boy, that didn't bounce back, that bounced up. And then you just, you know, it was painful, it was tough. I mean, that's what everybody will focus on, and that's going to end up being an iconic moment. They lost that game before that with poor letting Toronto get multiple opportunities at the basket on offensive rebounds, and they just had some brutal offensive possessions down the stretch. But that's one for the ages there. That was something else.
Neither team played well offensively. I mean, neither team did. I mean, look, we can salute Kawhi Leonard 41 points. It took him 39 shots to get there.
I thought the Sixers did everything they could defensively.
Yes.
They he had to earn everything. You look at those before the Jimmy Butler basket that tied it at 90 in the transition run out. There are three possessions where I think it was two shot clock violations and an air ball that was virtually a shot clock violation. They were just terrible.
Yeah.
You can't have that in that situation. You've got to be able to get at least a legitimate look off in one of those possessions. We've seen this before with the Sixers, but we saw it when they weren't any good. You know, early in Brett Brown's tenure, when they would win 10, 15 games, they would be in a ton of games, and they would lead the entire way. And then they would get to a point in the final couple minutes where, you know, you're just watching the game, and you're like, boy, if they could just get one more basket, this game's over. And they not only just couldn't get that basket, they couldn't even get a look. And that's what it was reminiscent of, that credit to a point to Toronto, but that just can't happen. And you allow yourself to the opportunity to lose by a shot like that because you didn't take advantage when opportunities presented themselves earlier.
Look, I know Jimmy Butler had to do what he did, in terms of the ability to score the two. But, boy, I'm looking over there, and Dick Girardi and I were talking about this earlier. We both saw the same thing, that J.J. Redick, who was 4 of 8 in threes in the game, he was on that, and I don't blame Jimmy. Jimmy did the right thing, I think. He got the sure two. So this is not a criticism of him, but it's like you're looking over thinking, hey, boy, that was pretty. Hey, there's a tendency in these situations to overreact. Okay, so now going forward, what do the Sixers need to do? Do they need to react to this, or is there a different way to go about it?
I mean, in my opinion, I mean, there's the rumor that they're, you know, that Brett Brown's job could be in trouble, which I don't understand.
I agree.
It makes no sense to me. on any level. You know, back-to-back 50-win seasons. He's won a playoff series in back-to-back seasons.
Maybe he'll take the Michigan job.
Yeah, right? You know, I mean, basically they played the Toronto to a standstill. Right. I mean, my goodness, a seven-game series that was tied until the final 4.6 seconds of regulation of Game 7. So I think what they need to do, you know, if I'm putting a checklist of things, is I would give Jimmy Butler whatever he wants, mm-hmm. even if it's a contract that hamstrings you on the back end. Worry about that at the back end. Mm-hmm. I think he is vital. Mm-hmm. He provides a vital edge and an ability to take over games that they really need. Secondly, they need to work on the bench. I think they've got a couple of pieces. They need to find a viable big man behind Joel Embiid that can play in all matchups. Because what you saw, the stat was stunning in the first half. Not surprising, but when you just see it on paper, I think in the first half last night they were +5 when Embiid was on the floor.
Right.
And in the minute 51 that Greg Monroe replaced them, they were -9.
Right.
Which, that's hard to do. To a point, it shows you the impact Embiid has, even when he's not playing at a superstar level, just being out there. But they've got to find somebody that can mitigate the drop-off that you can roll through there in games like this. I know you can get away with it in the regular season, but in big games where it really becomes more of a half-court game, that you're not getting dominant. And I don't even need it at the offensive end. I need it at the defensive end. You know, somebody that can. So that would be the second thing. And but then thirdly, you hope they've got some young guys that have some talent. Like, you know, you saw some flashes when they finally got Zaire Smith on the court late in the season.
Yep.
And I think if he is healthy and available, he could be a big time, not a star, but a big time contributor next year. I think they're close. I mean, you know, I think they were the better team than Toronto, frankly.
I agree.
I mean,
I agree with that.
I think they let one get away in game 4 at home when they could have gone up 3-1. And usually that's what happens in series like this, is one team steals a game they probably shouldn't win. And I think Toronto did that in game 4. Obviously it'd be a completely different series. But Toronto won. Toronto made the plays when they had them. But I think to do anything short story long, to do anything huge at this point in terms of trying to rebuild it or retool it, I think would be absolutely foolish. You've got a transcendent player in Embiid. You've got, I know Ben Simmons, it's frustrating he won't shoot, and there are some limitations to his offensive game. He is still one of the best 5 playmakers in the NBA. If you keep Jimmy Butler, I mean, yes, you've got to do some retooling around the edges and get maybe better in some late-game situations, but you're right there. You're right now one of the 5-6 best teams in the NBA. So, you know, I'm just the whole, I just can't get past the whole Brett Brown thing.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, it's as if people are talking as if they can just get Greg Popovich to come on over. It's no big deal. Like, you know, the odds of doing something to let Brett Brown go and going and getting somebody that regresses the organization is much greater than finding somebody that moves you forward.
But let's be frank about Ben Simmons, though, for a moment. He is, you're right, one of the top 5 playmakers. He makes some plays where I sit back and go, wow. You know, what he sees, how he sees it, how he delivers the ball, incredible. And around the basket, he finishes beautifully. But look, he needs a 15-foot jump shot. I did not say a 3-point shot. He needs a 15-foot jump shot. And that's what he needs. I mean, he just has to have 2 or 3 of those in a game. Now you got to play him differently. I mean, that's what he needs. I got to ask you about the one-on-one podcast, one-on-one with Matt Leon. Tell us about that and how excited you are with the project.
It's a lot of fun. Basically, it's a long-form interview. We do one a week, and we do somebody from the Philadelphia sports scene. In a lot of cases, it's somebody that's maybe not a headline grabber, but maybe a college coach or something like that. One of my first guests was the great Joe Crispin, who I'm sure your fans are familiar with from his days at Penn State, having a lot of success now as the head coach at Division III Rowan down in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. We talked about Joe's Penn State career, some great stories from his time playing overseas and in the NBA. Did a long discussion with Ray Didinger, not so much talking Eagles as talking his career. Mm-hmm. We talked about like his first scoop as the Eagles beat writer and a job or two he almost left Philadelphia for. Right. So it's stuff like that. Like I said, we do one a week. Right now, the one that's the latest one that's available is with Division II Westchester University head football coach Bill Zwan, who is one of the top D2 coaches in the country, and also has a great story. Is one of 11 children growing up, so I think they're fun. I think they're a little different than what's available now. We like to say that they're conversations with people you should know more about. So we're up to episode 8 right now, so we've got 7 available. You can get them wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow it on Twitter at @OneOnOnePod.
Great project. Well worth the listen because those are great topics. Matt, thanks so much. It's great to hear you back with us.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Neil Kulong next half hour. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. All right. Terry Rozier. This is how bad it gets. This is how bad the coverage is of the NBA. Top headlines ESPN. Rozier, I might have to go if Celt stay intact. Who cares? Hey, really? This guy, he comes off the bench. Is he a good player? He can be, yes. He can be a very good player. I have no problem with that. Terry Rozier is a good NBA player. He is not a great NBA player. I'm not talking about one of the top 15 guys here. You know, if they stay intact, I don't think I can play here. I'm going to have to go. He's up to any age. I'm sitting there going, okay. Yeah, we'd like to keep him, but you know, what the heck? That's a headline? Like I told you, I've said this many, many times. In the last 5 to 10 years, I do not like how sports are covered. I just don't like how sports are covered. Wait, is Terry Rozier a good NBA player? Yes. Is he a massively significant NBA player? No. He had a really good playoff run last year. He played very, very well. But that's a headline? That's a headline. Yeah, other things are good and important. You know, for example, Deion Jordan. Who's a free agent? Looks like he might get a 10-game ban for using Adderall. Okay, then that's a legit headline. Yeah, obviously, they're the ones that broke the John Beilein to the Cleveland story yesterday. But they put out so much stuff that it's just like they want clicks and they're
your
worthy
station
of it.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.